What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Hannah Wicklund. How are you, Hannah?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I had you on probably like, I think by now it might have been like 2 years ago. It's been a while, but just like kind of let us know, I guess, what you've been up to before we dive into anything. I know we'll get into the new album and everything, but just give us a bit of what you've been up to.
And kind of just like creating in some really new, expansive ways. I've kind of taken all of the limiters off. I have gone through a lot of different transformations, and especially like the behind the scenes. And I've kind of been saying it feels a lot like I left the music industry and now I'm just part of the music business. And I've been shaking things up and doing things my own way, even more so than in the past, if that's possible.
Right on. Can you kind of dive into that a bit? Like that's very interesting. Like what motivated you to kind of like go that route?
Well, I've had an interesting last decade, and you know, I'm no stranger to the upper tier, you know, the fancy going-ons of the industry, and it's just been a wildly confusing kind of ride, and I definitely found myself continuously giving my power away to people and following the cookie, so to speak. And I think last year I uncovered some pretty gnarly going-ons in my career, and I'm kind of saying, you know, I just got my freedom back a couple of months ago with the help of an amazing woman, Michelle Davis, my attorney. And without her help, I would still be trapped in a really weird situation. And so it feels as though I kind of have no option if I'm to move forward, but to completely own it. You know, and just do it for myself and for the right reasons. So, yeah, in terms of what that looks like, I mean, the last like 10 months, I have been creating multiple kind of different projects, not just this new record of mine that I am so, so, so excited to be sharing. But alongside it, it packs a punch. There's a lot of overarching messages in there. With a record called War on Women, Calling All Good Men, I was supremely aware that I wanted to actually do something and be part of the change in a tangible way. And so I am launching a publication called The Strawberry Moon Tribune. And the first edition is now complete. It is truly one of the most charming, just amazing projects I've ever been a part of. And there's a team of, gosh, I think we're around 25 or 30 strong, that I've basically just reached out to amazing artists and creatives in my world and beyond. And it's special. So that's what I've been up to. It's been a whirlwind.
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm glad to see you're still going strong, though, after that, you know, you had a bit of that adversity. And it's funny, like that, I shouldn't be surprised that you're doing all these different things, because like, I don't think it will take anyone, you know, any genius to know who's followed you along for the past years, however long, like even just seeing on your social media, it's like, you're an artist at heart, and like artists create. So, you know, that's not surprising that you're getting into other things like that. And that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. And before we start talking about your new record, I just to catch some people up, and obviously the prize came out a couple years ago, I believe 2024, I think. Mm-hmm. And also the Living Vault you just put out not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And and by the way, thank you for sending your new record. I listened to that multiple times today. And the first thing that came to mind is that I'm like, wow, like the sound is like, it's so different in the best way. You're not afraid to experiment, right? Like with sound, maybe when you're writing or in the studio, can you kind of, and I hope this isn't like a cliche broad question, but like your process when you do record or write or create, is that always like, you know, you're doing it, or is it natural? Is it just like, wow, I didn't know I could, it comes out and you're like, I didn't even try to do that. Like what, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I'd say my approach is 99% intuitive. Well, from the idea, from just learning to almost like submit to the song a little bit. Cause I think when I was young, I would go through so many different options of lines in my head, and I would like ache and awe over what to do next in a song. And sometimes it would just kind of freeze me and eclipse me. And so now I know that as a writer, a lot of my stuff takes a lot of time. So I like to, you know, the first 2-3 songs on this record, I started about a decade ago. So wow. I like to let things marinate and come back to them and let them kind of have their moment. So I really don't force anything anymore. And if I like hit like a point where I'm like, I actually don't know what the song needs, that's okay. And I'll come back to it. And kind of in the studio as well, I really like to have a lot of the songs going all at once, so that it's a little bit more of like a, you know, picking a song off the shelf and working on it, and then like skipping around and being like, actually I want to open this track and I want to do this. And you know, this record is this new one, the first time I have fully self-produced a record.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it was really fun getting to take my songwriting approach and then be kind of unbridled in the producer's seat. And I'm just so proud of how it turned out. And yeah, I really don't have a fixed idea of exactly what it's going to be like, but a lot of times there's just kind of like a knowing, and there's like, just like, it's more just so like uncovering it. Like it's already been created and I'm like an archaeologist, just like brushing some sand off.
Yeah. And I guess if you also produced it yourself, like you're there from start to finish, literally like the whole way through, uh-huh. I'd have to imagine the feeling when you finish it up, like that has to feel a lot better when you're there the whole process, right?
It's supremely rewarding. And it's something that I've, you know, essentially done. I've definitely like essentially co-produced most of the music that I've put out and that I've been a part of. But I've always just kind of followed the guideline of the industry of you need a producer. But what's funny is the prize I had actually started producing myself, and I'd gone down to a studio in Louisiana during COVID, and I like cashed out my Roth IRA and like paid for studio time. And then I actually did a little bit of recording in Charleston. Gosh, I guess it was 2020. And what's wild is Witness and Hide and Seek are the two songs off of The Prize that have a lot of instrumentation and guitar solos and backing vocals from me self-producing.
Wow, okay.
The tracks. And so I had worked with Devin Vaughn on those sessions in Charleston for The Prize. And Devin is who engineered my first Nashville record that Sadler Baden produced. And that's my Hannah Wicklin and the Steppin' Stones record with Bomb Through the Breeze. And so Devin was engineer on that. And then I found myself in South Carolina again last year, and it was a very easy decision to call up Devin, except this time he not only engineered the record, but he also played drums, and he's a badass. So it was a really fun project because it felt very much like coming home to myself, trusting myself, and having Devin in the studio with me was just so wonderful. He's like a big brother. So it was a really, really great experience. And I think I would love to continue to produce other people as well. This experience definitely gave me the confidence.
That's awesome to hear. And also shout out to Steppin' Stones. I literally have one of your CDs over there from like years ago, but
hell yeah.
Yeah. But, That's awesome. And when we dive more into this new record and everything, kind of like how you were talking when we first started, it does cover topics that are, you know, socially going on right now. And I guess, first of all, like, was there like a specific moment for you, or like what pushed you to really be like, like you said, you wanted to be a change and help push a change. Was there a specific time or moment that really pushed you into, you know, recording this stuff and putting it on paper?
Well, I think my whole life has been, you know, full of observations and experiences and frustrations and sadness and anger. And when I was a little girl, I got a lot of attention from men, and I, you know, had a lot of really positive things come from being a girl who played guitar. So I was definitely one of the ladies who was kind of like bristled at, like, you know, the question when I was 18 of like, what's it like to be a woman in rock and roll? And it was like, to be honest, I just didn't know yet. I didn't really know what it was like to be a woman in rock and roll, because being a girl in rock and roll, boy, do a lot of doors open. And boy, does your innocence just beget you a lot of attention. And so the experience of becoming a woman in this industry was a huge motivator in, you know, kind of just submitting to the most honest truths of my last few years, which is that I've been, you know, I've been shaped by this industry and by this world, and, you know, they're one and the same. They have similar goals. And so it was not very hard. It was very easy to put together these songs. It's my most authentic expression. And, you know, it's the first two tracks and then Marionettes. Those songs that I started 10 years ago are some of the most, like, politically blatant. And when I was 18 years old, I was very in tune and in touch and upset. And to then have these songs be unfinished and we're in an even more daunting time, I look,
they're still relevant. Yeah.
They're still relevant. And, and unfortunately the opening track of this record that I initially wrote about, one evil man is now applicable to so many more. And so these lyrics and this song of mine is, I hate how timely it is. I want to cry. I mean, it's just, it's a heartbreaking time, but you know, when a heart breaks, it opens. And so there's definitely, you know, we're at the beginning of something, and that's what my hope is with people listening to this record. It's kind of like you have to accept and look at the dark night, and you have to live it and experience it and touch it and look around in order to truly step out of it and be better for it. And so this record, I'd say, like, most of it is representing kind of that dark night. But I really aim to leave us on a hopeful note and, you know, encourage and ask for involvement from men and women and humans, and for all of us to just, you know, make it a better, safer place.
Absolutely. And just like on my first listen, I was like, I just, the word statement, like, it felt like it's going to be a really, like it's a statement piece. In every album you could call, like, oh, it's a statement she just released, but like this one really does, not only with like lyrically and your storytelling and everything like that, but also like instrumentally and the composition of it too. Like, it's like a lot of styles, a lot of sounds, and I was kind of getting to this earlier, but like it is a big mesh of so many things, to where with my favorite thing with artists is when you can't put them in a box. You can't, they're not this genre, they're not this sound. And I think this is a perfect example of that. Did you kind of feel that brewing when you were in the studio and everything? Like, wow, this is something different.
You know, I think every record that I write and that I go into, it's my goal to take you on a journey. It's mainly my goal to take myself on a journey, because I do not want to be playing the same song four different ways. And so when it comes time to write, I really like, you know, it's my favorite color is the rainbow. And we are all like humans with like a spectrum of emotions. So I want my album to be representative of that same concept, you know, like I want you to go through this record and be pinged in all sorts of different places. And I want it to invoke lots of different questions and moods and feelings. And then, you know, and then once you listen to, you know, a record all the way through a couple of times, then you have your kind of like favorites and stuff. But there is something special and sweet about a record that asks you to listen to it start to finish. And that's definitely what I've done with this one. I'm hoping that it is received in sequence to fully go down that journey.
Yeah, and that's like you saying that, like, definitely had that feeling even with the prize. I remember when that came out too, like it did feel like you're geographically literally there. Like it felt like you were like on this road. And it's really cool when an album can do that. And like you said, albums are meant to be, I'm one of those guys too, like albums are meant to be listened in order. Totally.
That's right.
On board with that. And you also mentioned like it does ping you in different ways, in different, you know, different directions. And forgive me if I get the tracks wrong here, but I think it's Whistle to Blow going into Stockholm. It's just like the such different kind of begin, like the end of that into the beginning of Stockholm was such a different vibe, but it's still like crescendos like at the end and stuff. It's just kind of cool. Like I'm kind of nerding out, but like it's kind of cool the way it does ping you in different ways while still maintaining that line, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a professional musician. Hopefully that made sense.
Wow, I love it. I love it. You're one of the first people that I've spoken with who's listened to it all the way through. So I'm happy to hear all of your tidbits.
awesome. But yeah, I'm very excited for everyone to get to hear this. And I guess also you said, so obviously you had, it was you producing and stuff. Like who did you all work with? I think you were kind of talking about it earlier, but just so shout them out. So who else was like maybe like playing in the band with you? Like who'd you all have?
Oh yeah, no, we had some really fun guest stars on this record. One of which is Miss Erin Clare. She's playing flute, and I became familiar with her. She had posted a video covering one of my songs on Instagram a few years ago, and she's just this beautiful woman who has like eccentric style, and she plays the flute and she does it so well, and she's like on a one woman mission to bring back rock and roll flute. And so I was in the van. I think I was just like driving around, and I had this song of mine, Diamonds. And I had written it on the beach of Folly Beach, Charleston, South Carolina. And she literally, like, her entire, like, essence, like, her face and her, like, style, like, just she, like, dropped into my brain. And all of a sudden I heard flute on the song as I was listening to like the demo or something. And so it was just this, like, that's what I mean. Like it was purely intuitive. And there were times past where, you know, like I would have been like, is it weird to reach out to someone from, you know, like a, you know, whatever. And I reached out to her, and now she's just like a good friend, and she's just, added so much to this record. It's kind of like at the center point. Diamonds, the song, and it's so cool. So yeah, so she's amazing. And then I had Mina Roth, who's an amazing young woman in Charleston, South Carolina. And she opened up for me at this show that I did. And she showed up with glass in her finger. She had broken a glass. Yeah, she had like broken, shattered something at work, and then still came to the show and played with her shit in her finger. And she was amazing. I loved her songs. Her delivery was super powerful and authentic and emotive, and I became a fan instantly. So she didn't get to stick around for my set because she had to go to the emergency room. But I asked her that night if she would be down to co-write a song with me. And so she came over and we sat on the porch, and then we went down to the beach, and we wrote this song together called Daggers. And about 10 minutes before she showed up, I was walking my dogs, Winky and Caboo, and the opening line, the glass in my finger is like the hate in your heart. The longer it lingers, the further we are from letting our wounds turn into scars. And yeah, and then we ran with that. And it's one of my favorite and most powerful songs that I've been a part of writing. And so Mina is singing on that track with me, and it's kind of my first time having like features, you know. Yeah, like, yeah. Like I think when I post these on ye olde streaming platforms, I will have you know, featuring Mina Roth and featuring Aaron Clare, which is amazing. And then the opening track of the record, of course, features the cutest laughs that ever have been. And that's my nieces, Lily and Lucy. And that's just so special to be able to kind of encapsulate their just whimsy and innocence. And it was just the perfect way to start the record. Yeah, there's a lot of extra lovely people on the album.
That's awesome. And it sounds to me like it's such like a personal thing for you, and like with your nieces and your friends that you were able to put on the tracks too. And I feel like those it's just kind of funny to me how like an artist talks about their, like, how personal an album is or any release is, and it connects with so many people while it's also so personal at the same time. And is that feeling ever come across you ever? Like when someone does say like, oh, like I love this song or this record meant this to me. And you're like, this all came from me. This is like my personal story, like that kind of thing. Like, does that ever feel weird to you?
Oh, like weird as in the most magical, wonderful, amazing thing ever. yes, then very weird. But no, it's something that I didn't know was so special until I was kind of withheld from it for a little while, which is like the real power of connecting with people through music. I consider myself spoiled because I started playing piano so young, and I went from, you know, piano competitions and recitals as a 6-year-old, 5-year-old, right into musical theater performances. And so I was on the stage constantly doing that. And then that went seamlessly into the band. And the band was just, I mean, once it started, I started my band 20 years ago, and it's been mostly nonstop since. And then, you know, the last like handful of years, last 4 or 5 years was just such a all of a sudden, like a lot of stopping energy and like a lot of like confusion. And so that connection with people and being able to hear about their experience with my songs and like their connection with my lyrics, that was something that you don't know what you got till it's gone. And so it's like one of the greatest honors to be able to create something that helps someone else in their own life and get through the day. And gosh, I've had some incredible moments of people, and especially with the prize, a lot of women sharing with me ways in which they've connected and how the record has helped them and others. And I was just recently in Portland, Maine, and I did an impromptu solo tour and just got on the road because I was craving connection again. That was the last show that I played before heading over abroad. There was a lovely, lovely woman who shared with me that she was a therapist at a women's prison and that she had been using the prize in therapy with some of the ladies, and that they were all really big fans and that they all said hello. Wow. And that is like one of the top compliments that you could be given as a songwriter. And there's a lot of spaces that your music can make impact that you don't hear about. And so to be able to hear firsthand from people what your music means, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, in addition to like the live aspect, that has to be an even better feeling. Like you said, you crave it. You crave that connection. Like, I mean, hell, like when I saw you, it had to have been 15 years ago. Like, it was at Caligny Plaza in Hilton Head.
Like, that is so funny. That is so wild.
It's funny. But going off that, though, it is staying power. Like, you know, like, it's stuck in my head. Like, it's like that has to be like the whole live aspect. To me, I think live shows and like the live aspect of music is the most important, at least as a listener. To an artist, it could be any number of things. But as a listener, the live show is what, how you discover artists and what keeps you coming back. And the world is streaming. It's so like great to get back to just a show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Give me a good show. Give me a free show during the day out in a field. And like, yeah, that's like, to me, the most pure, honest, amazing expression of music and community that there is. So yeah, I'm with you. The live sphere is, there's nothing like it.
I know. But Hannah, thank you so much for hopping on. This was great. I was really looking forward to this one. Glad we can make it happen. And
thank you, Sam.
Of course. And before we go, like plugs, like your socials, website, whatever, wherever people could find you, the floor is yours.
Yay, thanks. My name, Hannah Wickland. Follow me on all the good stuff. Definitely check out the Strawberry Moon Tribune. It will be available to order wherever books are sold. So you can go into your independent bookstore, you can go into Barnes & Noble, you can go wherever you want and order your copy of the Strawberry Moon Tribune.
Hell yes. And also be on the lookout for the new record, Wrong Women Calling All Good Men. Did I get that one right?
You got it right.
Perfect.
Good job.
Perfect.
Good job.
Yep. Y'all make sure to do that. Also check out Rage Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on everything. Google us, we'll show up. So Hannah, thank you for hopping on. Everyone else, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next time. My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Cause baby, I'm down to get dirty. You and me and some Tennessee whiskey on us. We ain't got try to make a mess of this simple